Okay, we're on page 242 of the fifth volume of Michta Me'Eliyahu by the Heiliger of Eliezer Dessler. Eliezer, Eliyahu Eliezer. Okay, and the title of the piece is Hamabat HaMetziusi Ein Gvul LeEfsherus HaAliyah. We spoke yesterday, we mentioned yesterday that tshuva is synonymous with aliyah, that a person who is growing is a person who's really doing tshuva. And we spoke about how we have to kind of reflect in a painful way on our past in order to then be able to move forward. I have to feel the depth of charata, of regret. I have to be willing to encounter some busha, some embarrassment, some shame, to feel a little bit disgusted by what I've done in order to propel me forward. And to be able to be, you know, confident and proactive in fighting the Yetzirah. But again, I use my disgrace, I use my inability. I told you yesterday, the fellow I was talking to, who doesn't really know how to learn very well, and he said, I can't anymore. I can't allow myself to be so uninformed. And that feeling of embarrassment, of not being able to learn with his own children, is what propelled him to say, yeah, I want to make a change. So to the degree that a person feels the disappointment in where they are now, or what they've done in the past, that moves a person forward. So now Rav Dessler continues in this next piece, and describes to us, Ein gvul le'efshiros ha'aliyah. There is no limitations to how far a person can climb, how far a person can ascend. And I'm reminded of something I once saw from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was a contemporary of Rav Kook, Zatzal, one of the great personalities of Yerushalayim, of yesteryear. And he writes in one of his svarim, he says, if you think about it, if a person goes down, there's only so far a person could go down. But in terms of up, there's an infinite amount that a person can go up. It's just a very powerful insight, just thinking about physical reality. So imagine, you're standing on a tall building, right? If God forbid a person fell off a tall building, there's only so far he's going to fall. I mean, he may get killed, Rachman al-Etzlan. But there's only so far down a person can go. Even if you throw yourself into the Grand Canyon, right? There's a bottom. There's, so to speak, a point where it'll end. In terms of up, as far as we understand, there's an infinite amount of up. And that's such an important insight from the Bria, from nature itself. Right? The natural world is reminding us of this truth, that when it comes to Yerida, sometimes we think like, it's a bottomless pit, I'm just going to fall and fall and fall. There's a bottom to one's falling, but there's an infinite amount that a person can go up. So Ein Gvul Le'efshiros HaAliyah, there's no limitations, there's no boundaries. A gvul is a boundary or border. There are no borders to the possibilities of growth, of Aliyah. Isa b'Gemara Nida, a very famous Gemara, I'm sure most of us have heard it before. Shekodem yitziras havlad melamdem oso kol ha-Torah kula. When a child is in utero, when you're being formed within your mother, a child learns, the vlad, the embryo, the child learns all of the Torah. V'ner dolik al rosho, and he has a candle hovering over his head. V'tzofa misofa olam v'ad sofo, and he's able to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Amazing Gemara. The kod mitziyasu la'avir ha'olam, and before one comes into the air of this world, ba malach v'satra al piv, the malach comes and he gives him a patch on the lips, he strikes him in the mouth, b'hu shocheach, and he forgets the learning, he forgets the Torah that he learned. However, what's the obvious question on this Gemara? Tell me, what's the obvious question on this Gemara?
Why learn it if we're going to forget everything?
Yeah, what's the point of learning everything if you're just going to forget it afterwards? Why do I need to learn all this Torah in order to, what, to forget the whole thing? V'tzarech Ian asks Rav Dessler, as many have before him, since you're going to forget everything that you learn, ma tam alamdem oso kol zeh, what's the point of learning all of it? What's the point of learning all of it? So Rav Dessler says something, he's not the first one to say this, but you'll see how he develops it, and it's very, very important. Rav Dessler says, aval birhu, the explanation is, she'ilmale lamdunu kol ha'Torah mirosh, had he not learnt all of the Torah initially, meaning while he was still in formation, ad shegam la'acher ha'shichcha ha'yedia adayin nish'eres t'muna banu. In other words, says Rav Dessler, that even after you forgot it, you still have experienced it. Right? Every one of us, whether you've learned Maseches Pesachim in this world or not, and we're going to start learning it in Mirtz Hashem right after Yantiv, you've learned Maseches Pesachim before. Now you might say, I don't remember anything. You may not remember it from when you learned it Shana Aleph, or you may not remember it from when you learned it in your mother's womb, but you've learned it before. And therefore, even after the shichacha, after all the forgetting, the idea, that latent awareness of it, remains hidden within us. Nish'eres tumuna banu. It remains hidden within. Ilmale zeh, and if not for that, lo haya efshar lahasik ha-Torah ba'olam hazeh olam ha-gashmias. It would be impossible for a person to learn Torah in this world, the world of physicality. Meaning this world is such an impediment, and that's what we're going to talk about, breaking through that impediment. But this world is such a blockage, the physical world is such a blockage to my relationship with Hashem, that had I not first encountered it, had I not first met the Torah, so to speak, in some form before I came to this world, I would find it impossible to achieve Torah in this world, to learn anything, to understand anything in Torah. But now that I've tasted it, now that I've experienced it, so now I have the ability to what? I have the ability to come back to it again and again and again. It's tmuna banu. It's contained within us. And when you learn Torah, don't think of yourself as learning it for the first time. Think of yourself as relearning it. It makes it much easier for a person to say, you know what? I once knew this. If I once knew it, now I believe I can do it again. Yes, Evan, what's your question?
What about a convert?
Great question.
They were always
great Jewish question. What about a convert? So some would explain that even non-Jews perhaps have this experience. You know, there's a whole discussion about, you know, the Gemara says the Malach strikes you on the mouth, right? So some people think the indentation over here is from the Malach patching you on the lips. Right? So then they ask the question, so why do non-Jews also have that? So the answer could be very simple, and some offer this answer. Because non-Jews also have a chelek in Torah. The Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, right? So certainly a convert also has tasted Torah in this world. It could be, again, I'm not sure, I don't know how we would know for sure, but it could be that a convert, in many ways, is a neshama that's held in captivity and eventually is going to return. That's part of his trajectory in life. And it could be maybe he was, you know, given access to Torah before he entered the body of a non-Jew, before he became, you know, a non-Jewish person and then eventually found his way back. But certainly he could learn the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach and probably did. And maybe a Ger Tzedek learned the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach B'iyun. Maybe he knows a little bit more about it. I don't know. It's a good question. It's a deep question. Okay? But it would be impossible for us in this world of Gashmias to be able to experience and have success in Torah if we haven't tasted it previously. Now, why do I need to know this? Why is it so important for me to know that I once tasted Torah before I came to this world? Says Rav Dessler, Hatam hu, Kedei sheneida shekoach hakaras ha'emes banu hu. I would say, if you have it printed out, underline that line. In order that we should know that the koach hakaras ha'emes banu hu, that the ability, the koach, the possibility, the potential, shekoach, not lashon of shechacha, koach, shekoach hakaras ha'emes banu hu, that the ability to recognize the truth is within us. Chever, one of the greatest impediments to a success in Torah is setting yourself up as if the Torah is other, as if the Torah is something outside of yourself. That is the farthest thing from true. You are Torah. That's who you are. You're built on Torah. Your whole being is built on Torah. Your whole existence is dependent upon Torah. The whole world is dependent upon Torah, all the more so your miniature world is dependent upon Torah. Your body is built on Torah. I think I once shared with some of you, but since it's a lot of new guys, we'll share the remez again. An amazing remez. Okay, just very quickly, just to show you how your body is physically built on Torah. Shoval, you remember this? I'm trying to remember what year we shared it, if you guys heard it in the past. Tell me if you remember this, anyone. How many times does Hashem's name appear in the Torah? Yudke Vavke. Hashem's most, you know, essential name. Hashem's most basic name. And I remember this? Yehuda, remember this? Do we ever talk about this? Hashem's name appears in the Torah 1,820 times. Okay, 1820 is the magic number. 1820. 1,820 times. Okay, that's how many times the name of Hashem, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, appears in the Torah. 1820. Okay, now, we know that there are four worlds. If you look in Sifrei Kabbalah and Hasidus, you look in the Nefesh HaChaim, he talks a lot about four different olamos. The names of the four worlds, I'm sorry, I messed it up. Let's try that again. Okay, the names of the four worlds are, it is so hard to write on this thing, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Okay? Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. What are these four worlds? What are these four realms? Four realms of reality. Atzilus, the word Eitzel means next to or near to. The world of nearness. What does that mean? The world that's closest to Hashem, so to speak. Again, what does that mean? We're not gonna try to go anywhere deep with this right now. Just very simply, Atzilus means that highest realm, that world that's closest to Hashem. Below that is a world called Bria, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Bria means creation, but it means creation in terms of initial formation, the beginning of creation. Yetzira is when something takes on more of a form. Right? So again, Atzilus is that first world of nearness to Hashem. Bria is initial creation or formation. Yetzira is a more complete type of formation. And Asiya, right, literally lasot, the world of doing, so to speak, is perhaps this world, as we understand this world to be. The world where we're alive and we experience it and it's real. Okay? It's a world, it's a tangible world. I'm very much perverting these four ideas, but for the sake of simplicity, that's the basic idea. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. There's an idea in a sefer called Arve Nachal. The sefer Arve Nachal, it's a famous work on Chumash. The Arve Nachal says that our Torah, as we have it, comes from the world of Bria. Now, what does that mean, our Torah comes from the world of Bria? Right? What does that mean, the Torah comes from the world of Bria? That means that the Torah, we know, existed before creation, right? It's the blueprint of creation, which means that there's a way to understand the Torah somewhere up here. There's a way to understand the Torah as it exists here and here and here and here and here. Right? There's a way to understand the Torah through each of the worlds. So in the world of Asiya, when the Torah says, Be'erev tochlu matzos, you should eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan, what does that mean in the world of Asiya? It means eat matzah. What is the concept of eating matzah in a higher realm, or in a higher realm, or in a higher realm? Great question. Great question. But we know that matzah exists prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Avram Avinu ate matzah on the 15th of Nisan, Chazal say. So what was he eating matzah? To celebrate what? That the Jews in the future are going to be freed? Right? You know, it's like it's out of order from a time perspective. Right? So how do we understand that? What exactly is matzah before there's a Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, you could see how everything Christopher Nolan did in his new movie was based on the Torah. Vahamevin Yavin. Let's see who smiles. Anyone even know what I'm talking about? Okay, so I'm the most guyish in the group. Okay, good. Gavaldik. Okay, excellent. Fine. So, Chavis, let's go weiter. So, our Torah comes from the world of Bria, and it comes down to the world of Asiya. Now, we said there's 1,820 names of Hashem in the Torah. That's sort of the energy, the chiyus of the Torah is the name of God as it exists within the Torah. Let's talk about Asiya. Let's talk about ourselves for a minute, our physical body. The structure of the body, so to speak, the backbone of the body, right, is made up of how many vertebrae? The Gemara talks about this. When the Gemara is trying to figure out how many brachos are in Shmona Esrei, the Gemara says, well, maybe the brachos, what do they correspond to? What do the 18 brachos correspond to? So the Gemara says, well, it corresponds to the vertebrae. It corresponds to the 18 parts of our spine. And that way, when we're davening, so to speak, our entire koma, our entire structure, is davening before Hashem. So then the Gemara says, but hold on a second. Shmona Esrei, how many brachos are there actually in Shmona Esrei? 19. Balam al Shinim. So the Gemara says, well, there's this 19th bone, this small bone, at the end of the spine, right? The end might be the top, the end might be the bottom, whatever it is exactly, right? But really there's a small bone and that corresponds to that 19th bracha. Okay, everyone with me so far? So there's 19 parts, so to speak, of our, there's 18 and then a small one. If you look in the Torah commentary of Rabbeinu Bachaye, he says that the small bone is 1/5 the size of what? Of a regular bone. Okay, we'll take his word for it. That small bone corresponds to is the size 1/5 the size of a regular part of the spine. So in other words, my backbone is made up. My spine is made up of 18.2, right, vertebrae, right, 1/5, 18.2. So explained, Rav Avram Shor Shlita, We know from Sifrei Chassidus and Pnimiyas HaTorah that these four worlds also correspond to the different number columns. What do I mean by that? The world of Asiya is the ones column. The world of Yetzira is the tens column. The world of Bria is 100, and the world of Atzilus is 1,000. Okay? Again, what does that mean? What do we do with that information? It's a good question. It's interesting, in a certain sense, the highest number in Judaism is 1,000. How do you say 1,000 in Hebrew? How do you say 1,000? Aleph, right? Aleph is the same as Aleph. So in a certain sense, when you get to 1,000, when you get to Aleph, you go back to Aleph. That's why the Hebrew term for 10,000, right, is revavos. Right? We talk about revavos, tens of thousands. Revavos just means a reboy, a multiplicity of something. Because once you get to 1,000, you kind of reach the top of the pyramid. Aleph goes back to Aleph. Again, we're saying a lot of ideas, but just stay with me for a second. So the Arvei Nachal, the Sefer Arvei Nachal, tells us that our Torah comes from the world of Bria, whatever that means exactly. And I told you that our Torah has Hashem's name 1,820 times. So if you take the Torah from the world of Bria with its 1,820 mentions of God's name, right, Yudke Vavke, and you, so to speak, bring it down now from the hundreds column to the one column, you have to divide it by 100. Right? So if you take 1820 and you divide it by 100, you're left with 18.2. So Chevra, what does that say about us? What does that inform us about our body? Explained to Avram Shor, Shlita, one time, that if you think of your spine, if you think of your backbone, if you think of the build, the coma, the structure of a person being a miniature Sefer Torah, you are a miniature Sefer Torah. Your entire being is built on Torah. That's why the Gemara says how foolish it is for people who what? Who stand up for a Sefer Torah when it comes out of the Aron, but they don't stand up for what? For a Gavra Rabba, for a Talmud Chacham who's a walking Sefer Torah. But Chevra, the reality is, and what we're learning in Rav Dessler, is that every one of us is a walking Sefer Torah. Because before we came to this world, we knew Kol HaTorah. We knew all of Torah. Now it's just about chazering it over. It's about just learning it again, right? So we spoke, you know, who was the Rosh? Rabbeinu Asher, 13th century, right? That was something we emphasized a few times. We learned it. We know who he is now. You knew that already. You knew who the Rosh was before. You're just relearning who the Rosh was. You're just getting back to it again. Okay? So Chavis, let's go on in Rav Dessler. So Rav Dessler says, why do I need to know that I learned the Torah before I was, alive in this world? To remind myself that that ability to recognize the truth of Torah is from within. I'm not trying to bring external ideas into my life. I'm not, going to the Sfarim store and buying a stack of books and trying to then plug it into my existence. It's so much a natural part of me. And I just have to get back to it. You understand why this is connected to tshuva? Tshuva is about getting back to something that already was. When we learn Torah, we're getting back to something that already was. Okay, Chava, let's go further. Elishahi reduma banu, says Rav Dessler, but it's what? It's hidden within us. It's silenced within us. And our job is what? Uviyadenu lahaira. Our job is to awaken it. That's part of what the shofar is doing. It's trying to take us back in time to a place, where we once knew the Torah, where we once knew Hashem. Ulachzira el kol bihirusa. And to restore us to our original clarity. Why? Ki kol kocho shel yetzahara eino ela dimyon. Because what is the strength of the Yetzirah? Nothing other than what? Dimyon. Perspective. Imagination. The Yetzirah wants you to wake up in the morning thinking that you're not good at Torah. Chevra, everyone who has that challenge, every single time you come to Shir, there's a part of you that says, I can't follow this. I can't follow the ideas. I can't read the words. It's very nice that my mind to read it to me. And maybe, and I see some of you, you're writing down the words. That's the best way to learn. You're paying attention. You're underlining the key phrases, right? But there's a part of you, there's a Yetzirah that says, in some dimyonish way, in some imaginary way, this is not for me. I can't do this. It's too hard. And therefore the Gemara tells us, it's not too hard. Not only can you do it, you have done it already. You've been there before. You know Torah already. You finished Shas already. Now you just got to review it a couple of times. No problem. And when a person strengthens himself in this way, Yivka Hayam, he breaks through the ocean. V'nagia l'katzeo asheni, he makes it to the other side of the ocean. Now I'll tell you in a second why he's using that mashal. V'haya ki'ilu lohaya. And then he realizes that whatever looked like it was blocking him, you know what the Medrash says, on the way to Akedas Yitzchak, what did the Yetzirah do? What did the Satan do? Yeah, Avram Avinu was on his way with Yitzchak to the Akedah. What did the Satan do? He put a body of water in front of him, an imaginary body of water in front of him, saying to Avram, you can't make it to the Akedah. You can't cross this river. You can't cross this ocean. And as soon as a Jew goes into the water and takes another step and another step, chever, what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf? The Jews went into the water. Nothing happened. They kept pushing. The water came, right? What does the pasuk say? Ma'im ad nafesh. The water was mamish up to their noses. And then finally it split. So says Rav Dessler, just keep pushing through the water and eventually you'll make it to the other side and you'll realize it wasn't as intimidating as it looked. It wasn't so scary. V'zeu sod ha-tshuva. And chaver, this is the secret of tshuva. Returning to something that already is or already was. Not to convince ourselves that it's not possible, I'll never be able to do it. It's too far away. Right? Lo mi aver layam. Why is Rav Dessler using this image of crossing the ocean, crossing the water? Because the Torah tells us so clearly, lo mi aver layam. The Torah is not on the other side of the world. Lo bashamayim hi. It's this week's Parsha, Parsha's Netzavim. It's not in the heavens, it's not on the other side of the ocean. The Arizal has a whole kavana for Chodesh Elul, based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Hanosein Bayam Derech. Hanosein Bayam Derech, to find a path through the ocean. Right? The ocean's very intimidating. You can't even see where it ends. But once you start walking through it, Kriyas Yamsuf happens. It splits. It parts ways. Don't convince yourself it can't be done. Remind yourself that you yourself already did it, and now just do it again. Chaver, who's Roger Bannister? Chaver's holding in Roger Bannister. You know that name? Who's Roger Bannister? British athlete. What did Roger Bannister do in 1954? Anyone know? Passed away a couple years ago. I think he had Parkinson's. What did Roger Bannister do in 1954 that was a game changer? What sport was Roger Bannister? You don't recognize the name Roger Bannister? Roger Bannister was the first one to run a mile in under 4 minutes. 1954. The first one to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Right? No one thought it could be done until he did it. You know how long his record lasted? 46 days. After he did it, everyone said, if he can do it, I can do it also. And now the record is much, much lower than that. Right? Because once someone broke through that barrier and showed that it was physically possible to do it, then other people said, oh, apparently it can be done. So now I can do it too. So chevra, forget about comparing yourself to someone else. You see your chavrusa learning and you say, well, you know, I don't know. We went to school back in the day together. And he figured out how to read a Gemara on his own, so maybe I can do it too. Right? It's not you versus your chavrusa even. Not versus chas v'shalom. It's not a competition. Right? But it's not even you comparing yourself to someone else. It's you getting back to the Torah that you learned when you were in your mother's womb. It's simply a return to the Torah that you once studied. It's not so scary. It's much less scary this way. No, Seth, it's less scary this way. You're just getting back to what you already know. Ozzy, talk to me. I'm listening.
The same thing is said about Amalek and why Amalek was so bad, because they're the first ones to attack us after we left Mitzrayim, and then once that happened, other nations were like, oh, I guess it's possible, and then everyone
Excellent. Jumped on that. Excellent. That's right. Amalek is the exact same message in the opposite direction, right? That when the Jewish people had become untouchable, rightfully so, after everything that happened on our way out of Mitzrayim, and the nations didn't want to start up with us, and along came an Amalek and said, we're going to show you that the Jews are not invincible, and that's part of the evil of Amalek. Very good. Very, very good. Okay, Chava, let's pause in Rav Dessler for a moment, and I want to show you an insight from a sefer called Or Yahel. Or Yahel. It means like shine, the name of the sefer, Or Yahel, means shining light or radiating light. It's a sefer written by Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chassman. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chassman was the mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva. He passed away in 1934 in Chodesh Cheshvan. And he was a great mashkiach. And we have his writings. It's called, again, Or Yahel. And he has something in this week's parsha that you absolutely need to know. Again, let's go back to the psukim we were just talking about for a second. What does it say in this week's parsha? It's on the screen in front of you. Says Rav Yehuda Leib Chasman, our Torah in this week's parsha tells us, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nifleis himemcha. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, it's not too hard for you. Don't convince yourself it's too hard for you. V'lo rechokahi, it's not far away. Lo b'shamayim hi, leimor mi yala lanu ha-shamayma. It's not on the other side of the universe, which leaves you wondering, mi yala lanu ha-shamayma, how am I ever going to climb to the heavens, v'yikachel lanu, to take it for us? I don't have to build a rocket ship to bring the Torah down to the world. V'yered Hashem al Har-Sinai, Hashem came down long ago, it's already here. V'lo mi'aver liyam hi. It's not on the other side of the ocean. Leimor mi ya'avar lanu. Who can help us cross the ocean? It's not far away at all. In fact, where is it? How close is it? Ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od. The matter is close at hand. Very close. Ma'od. Beficha, it's in your mouth. Bilvavcha, it's in your heart. La'asoso, to actualize it. It's mamash on the tip of your tongue. It's so easy. It's so accessible. And therefore, use a little common sense. See what's before you. You make a choice. Do you want to choose a life that's truly a life and a life of good? Or, God forbid, a life that is death and evil? The choice is yours. Okay? Did you ever think about the following question? And this is such an important question. Rav Leib Chasman asked such a simple question. Look how he says it. I wanted to show it to you inside because his words make it very strong. V'yesh lehizbonein b'zeh. Let's think about this for a second. Bishlama im yomru lo la'adam. It's understandable. If you say to a person, da, you should know. Shehadavar eino rachok mimcha kama parsos kafi machshavtecha. The thing that you're describing is not as far away as you imagined it to be. It's only a mile away. Imagine a person says, you know, I don't know, let's say you move to my neighborhood, right? So I'm asking you, I'm saying, you know, do you think that, you know, I could walk to visit you on Shabbos? Are you within walking distance? So you say, I don't know, I think it's like 4 miles, right? So I say, well, where'd you move to? What's the address? So you give me the address. No, that's not 4 miles. It's like closer to like 2 miles. Okay, that's a reasonable mistake, right? Again, you don't know the neighborhood well. I thought it was 4 miles, 2 miles. If I asked you, how many miles is it from here to Florida, right? So you may take an educated guess. You may be off by, I don't know, 100 miles, hundreds of miles, right? But if you think Florida is, I don't know, how far is Florida from New York, Jared? How far away are we? How many miles away are we?
Like 3,000, I think.
3,000 miles, okay.
Something like that. I don't know
exactly. Okay, let's say 3,000 miles, right? So if I would have said 2,500 and it's really 3,000, okay, it's an understandable guess. What is the Torah telling us? The Torah is saying to us, it's not in Shemayim, it's not on the other side of the universe, it's on the tip of your tongue. Is that a reasonable mistake to make? If I thought it was 4 miles and it's really 3.2 miles, okay, that's a reasonable mistake. If I thought it was 1,000 miles and it's 900 miles, also a reasonable mistake. But if I thought it's in Shemayim, and no, it's on the tip of your tongue, right? Oh, it's in your pocket, right? Oh, I thought it was on the other side. I thought it was in California. No, it's actually in your hand. Oh, that's such a strange, how does a person make such a mistake? Says Reb Leib Chasman, Reb Yehuda Leib Chasman, the Mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva. If a person thinks something is many parsaos, think parsaos in terms of miles, many miles away. And in fact, it's a little bit closer, it's understandable. Aval heich yitochein. How could it be that a person thinks, ki ein zeh b'shamayim? Oh, you're confused. You thought it's in Shemayim? No, it's not really in Shemayim. Rather, it's besoch picha. It's actually in your mouth. How does such a mistake happen? Veheich salka daitach, litos al davar hamunach besoch piv, shu b'shamayim. How do you make a mistake to think that something which is literally in your mouth is somewhere on the other side of the universe? How does a person think like that? How could that possibly be? That you have to tell a person, oh, no, you're making a slight mistake. It's not on the other side of the world. It's actually right in your hand. It's right on the tip of your tongue. How does a person make such a mistake? It's a very good question. So Reb Leib Chasman explains, and I'll tell it to you outside. Reb Leib Chasman explains. He says a person is made up of a guf and a neshama. And the question is, who's in charge? If the neshama is in charge, it's so easy to understand how close Torah is. But when the guf takes over, all of a sudden you start to convince yourself that Torah is the farthest thing away from where I want to be in life. It seems like the most abstract, most disconnected reality from where I am in the world, right? Says Reb Lev Chassman, who's in charge? The question of understanding this pasuk is just reminding yourself who's in charge. If your body's in charge, you're going to think Torah's on the other side of the ocean. Says the pasuk, Lo b'shamayimi, ki karv alecha davar ma'od, klomar. Let's just read one line inside. That is to say, la'achar shem shalta es haruach ala chomer. When you cause the spirit to govern, to rule over the physical, harei ha-mitzvah hazos mamash v'fichu l'vavcha. Then it's very easy. Then Torah is very natural. It's a return to self. It's a return to what you learned in your mother's womb. V'roa ata b'chush es ha-derech ha-chaim l'fanecha. It becomes so easy to see why this is the right life, why this is the only path that I could possibly choose. Masha'ein kein lahefech, but God forbid, when I start to fall, when my neshama falls prey to my body, then what? B'shamayim hi, me'ever liyam, it's so far away. It's so unrealistic. I'll never get there. Right? We convince ourselves of things which are entirely not true. So, Chevre, that's what Rav Dessler is telling us here. Again, we have to just view it as a return to where we once were. It makes it so much more accessible. Again, like Roger Bannister breaking that 4-minute mile, then everyone could do it. Again, it's not you versus someone else. It's just you and you. It's returning to where you once were. Let's go a little bit further. Kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael chayiv lomar masai yagiu masai lamasei avosai Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. An amazing medrash. The medrash says, this abbreviation stands for Tana Debei Eliyahu. In the medrash Tana Debei Eliyahu, it says, and it's one of the most important ma'amari chazal to live with day in and day out, every single Jewish person is obligated to say to himself, when will my actions, masai yagiu ma'asai, lema'asei avosai? When will my actions reach the actions of the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Okay? Look what Rav Dessler says with this Maimer Chazal. Im Chazal horanu kach bevadai shebemetzias efshar shenagia. If Chazal have taught us this, then obviously Chazal are not setting us up for failure. Obviously, it's realistic to reach the level of the avos. So you're going to say, what? What do you mean? I'm going to be the next one of the avos. What, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Gabe? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Jonathan? Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Aaron? That's how we're going to change Shemona Esrei. I'm going to be the next one on the list. I'm going to be the fourth of the avos. What are Chazal telling me? Chayev Adam Lomar. I have to say that I can reach the level of the avos. What does that mean? It's not about becoming one of the avos. You're not going to become the fourth of the avos. I don't think that's what it means. So what does it mean? What it means is the following. If Chazal are telling us that it's possible for a person to reach for the actions of the avos, to try to be like the avos. Avram was a lone soldier in the world. Can you stand up when, so to speak, when there's a lot of religious pressure to be a certain way? Can you be a yachid who takes on the mob? Can you stand tall and know what you believe in, like Avram Avinu took on the world? He was Avram HaIvri. He was on one side of the water, or one side of the river, and everyone else was on the other side. Right? Do you know how to stand up tall like Avram? Yitzchak, do you have self-sacrifice like Yitzchak Avinu? Yaakov, do you know how to learn Torah with concentration and focus like Yaakov Avinu? They did it. And if they did it and you're their descendant, you can do it too. What Chazal are telling us is, look how the Avos were always steiging, to use the word we used yesterday, that Rav Dessler used yesterday. Look how they were growing. Look how they were trying to do a little bit more. Look how they were trying to go a little deeper. Im kein kol ha-machshavos shel yeyush, all of the feelings of despair that sometimes overtake us, v'istapkus b'muat shel ruchnias, and being satisfied with just enough in spirituality. When it says in Pirkei Avos, right? When it says in Pirkei Avos, ezehu asher ha-sameach b'chelko, be satisfied with your portion in this world, that's primarily talking about gashmias. In ruchnias, never be satisfied. Never feel that you've you're good enough. Work on yourself. Want to grow. Again, in a healthy way. Appreciate the growth that you have, but never be satisfied. Histapik b'muad is a term we use to say, spend within your means, financially. Histapik b'muad is not the goal in ruchnias. Always want more. Sha'omer la'atzmo, mi ani shu'uchal la'asig madregos ramos. Right? Don't walk around saying, who am I to be on such a high level? Right? I'm not a this type of guy or that type of guy. I didn't learn in this yeshiva or that yeshiva. You know? I don't wear a black hat. I don't dress black and white. I didn't go to cheder as a little kid. Whatever silly, superficial deterrent you've created in your mind that's stopping you from being the best version of yourself. Einam ela mi dimyonos hayetzer. These are all dimyonos chevra. Again, the world of Kelm, the yeshiva, the world that Rav Dessler came from, was a world where you had to learn how to use your mind in the right way. To not allow the Yetzirah, use your imagination to picture a greater version of yourself. Instead of using your Yetzirah to picture imaginary pleasures that don't even exist. It's all dimyonos hayetzer. Ve'ein shum mamish b'dvarim ha'heim, ve'ein ze mabat mitziusi klal. There's no truth to these words, and there's no reality to them whatsoever. V'yoser mize, and more than that. Rav Dessler says, what's the key word in this Maimer Chazal? Kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. What's the key word? Circle it. Chayev. Chayev. This is not advice. This is not a cute suggestion. Rav Dessler says, Ilu amru Chazal eitza tova. This is good advice. Nachon lomar. It's fitting to say. That's not what it says. The Maimer Chazal is Chayev Adam. Chayev Adam. If a person saw this as advice, you could say this advice is for someone else. It's not for me. Every Jew is obligated. Chayav. Chayav. A person's obligated. Harei derech zu mechreches la'aliyah. Every Jew is chayav to say this. Levar u'lekvoa bilibeinu. To clarify and to solidify in your heart. Ki afsharis psucha mamish avurenu lahagia lamase avram va'achrayim anu ba'adze. I can be like Avram Avinu. And I have to feel a sense of responsibility. If I can do it, then I should do it. I have to live with that sense of chayev. Can anyone think of another Maimer Chazal, chayev? Another important chayev from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Chayav Adam Lomar, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. It doesn't say, nice idea to say, the world was created for me. It doesn't say, you know, it's a good way to energize yourself in the morning. Chayev, it's a chiyev. You have a chiyev to put on tefillin. You have a chiyev to keep kosher. You have a chiyev to not speak Lashon Hara. You have a chiyev to keep Shabbos and to honor your parents, not worship Avodah Zarah. You also have a chiyev to say, I want to be like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. You have a chiyev to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. It was worth creating the whole world for me because my life is so significant and my desire to be close to Hashem is so realistic. I'm not going to let Hashem down because I know it's within reach. It's not far-fetched at all. It's totally, totally within reach. Okay? Chaver, let's do one more paragraph for today. V'im tomar, and if you'll ask, if a person will say to himself, Eich efshar tahi mitzias kazos lakatan v'shafel. Again, you might say, Rav Dessler, you're a sweet guy. Thank you so much for the chizuk. But I'm a small person. I'm not Avram, I'm not Yitzhak, I'm not Yaakov. I'm not even my chavrusa. I'm not my Rebbe. I'm not my older brother. I'm not my father or my mother, right? I'm just like, you know, you read the Sadoros, you know, I'm not so great, right? It's not possible for a small person like me, says Rav Dessler, Ein hashela hazos ba, el mishum sheme olam lo hishtamshanu bechizuk amiti uvegvura amitis. Rav Dessler says the only reason you would ask such a question is because you've never really used true chizuk and true strength in answering that question. We almost want it to be true that the Torah is not for us. Think how much more free time we would have. Right? The lazy part of ourselves says it would be so much easier if I didn't have to care at all about, you know, about Gemara Rashi Tosos. If I didn't have to care about a Shulchan Aruch. If I didn't have to be bothered by a Mishnah Brura. Why do I need to learn Mishnayis Yoma? Who cares what the Kohen Gadol did in the Beis HaMikdash? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's much easier for me not to care at all. It would free up a lot of headspace, so to speak. Or so I imagine. But the truth is, it's the opposite. The Torah gives me clarity, gives me purpose in my life, gives me meaning in my life. Rav Dessler says, if you ask the question, who am I to compare myself to the Avos? Who am I to say, Chayev to say I'm going to be like the Avos? Isn't that Gaivadik? You don't know the first thing about yourself, says Rav Dessler. What are you talking about? Ki im achis chalnu b'ke'ela, Hainu Roam Efsharas Neflaos. If you would just begin the process and stop standing on the sideline, convincing yourself that you're not good enough to play the game, get in the game and practice. And I promise you, you'll get better. You know, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. And he didn't say, oh, I guess I'm not good at basketball. He decided to work harder. He decided to figure out how he's going to be the best. Right? And he worked on himself. He didn't convince himself that it can't be. He knew it could be. He sensed internally it can be. I just have to work a little harder. And when a person crosses that barrier, again, when Roger Bannister runs that less than four minute mile, or you remind yourself, wait a minute, I've learned this before. I know Torah. I'm not trying to get to Torah for the first time. I know Torah. I have a strong relationship with Torah. Then Sha'arim Pesuchim. Then the gates swing open. You find the path through that ocean. V'siyata d'shmaya b'li gvul. And when you show that you care, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you unbelievable help. Endless support. Halo be'einenu ra'inu. Rav Dessler says, we've seen with our own eyes. Ga'onei hadoros. Great tzaddikim who became geniuses of Torah. Shemitchila lo hayu bali kishron klal. Yesterday we were learning the She'iltos. I told you, who wrote a commentary on the She'iltos? Who wrote the Hamak Sheila on the She'iltos? The Netziv. The Netziv almost got, you know, bounced out of yeshiva as a young person. He didn't know how to learn. They were ready to give up on him. It's a famous story. The Netziv, when he finished writing his commentary on the She'iltos, he reflected on the fact, what would have happened to me if I would have left yeshiva? My parents were ready to send me to trade school. I would have been an Erlich shoemaker. And I would have been a fine Jew. But when I would have come to the Olam Emes, they would have said to me, where's your She'iltos? What happened to your commentary? What happened to your Hamak Sheila? What happened to it? Now, I know when you hear stories like this, some of us, you know, we like retreat into our shell because it's a scary story. Is there pressure on me to write, thousands of pages of Chidushei Torah? You know what the answer is? I don't know, and you probably don't know. Why do you assume not? Why do you assume not? You know, on sukkahs, I like to hang up pictures of my sukkah of rabbis when they were young because they look like regular people. You know, I don't want to see like, you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe as the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I have a picture of Rav Shach in my sukkah. He looks like you. A young Rav Shach who's Rosh Hashiva Panovich. He looks like you. He looks like regular guys. I love seeing pictures of young rabbis, right? And just seeing that they look like regular guys. You look at pictures of a young altar of Novardik or Slobodka and regular people, right? And then you look at them like when they already look like Rosh Yeshiva and you're like, that can't be me. And again, I'm not saying everyone has to be a Rosh Yeshiva. However, you know I don't believe that. I know that doesn't have to be the be-all and end-all of a person's life to have a meaningful religious experience. But don't decide now what you can and can't do. How old are you? 18, 19, 20? So what, you made up your mind how far you can reach? Says Rav Dessler, we've seen Gaone Hador, some of the greatest Torah minds, that at the beginning they were not such geniuses at all, but they worked hard. Uven yana yira va'ava, mufurish begamar geder yesh kona olamo b'sha achas. When it comes to what? Acquiring awe or love of Hashem, we find such a concept in the Gemara, yesh kona olamo b'sha achas, a person who changes his whole life in a single moment. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells stories of people who were rishaim mamish, and in a second, they changed everything. That's tshuva. That's the depths of tshuva. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva spent, in his younger years, Rabbi Akiva developed an attitude of such animosity towards Torah. He hated Torah. Rabbi Akiva, who's like the linchpin of Torah Shu'al Peh, the Gemara says in Pesachim Memtes, I believe. Rabbi Akiva hated Talmidei Chachamim. He despised from people. He looked down on religious Jews. And of course, Rabbi Akiva became the Rabbi Akiva who built the yeshiva of 24,000, endured the tragic loss of those Talmidim, built another yeshiva, the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Akiva is the backbone of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And he could have been a nobody. He didn't learn Torah seriously until he was 40 years old. Rabbi Akiva turned it all around. Chevra, look at these words. Yesh kona olamo b'sha achas. What do the Rashi Tevos spell out? Look at the first letters. Yud, Kuf, Ayin, Bez, Aleph. You see the letters Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva is an example of a person who made a conscious decision at one point in his life, I want to change it all. Now, Rabbi Akiva didn't change in a second. He went through many years. But there was that split moment, that moment of making a choice that I have to change. I want to change. I want to be open to being big. I don't want to convince myself. Until now, I've convinced myself I'm small. From this day forward, I convince myself that I can be big. That's the yesh kona ulamo b'sha'achas. A person who acquires his world b'sha'achas in one moment. Or sha sometimes means to turn. With one move, with one turn, a person breaks through. Hareisha ein shum hagbala l'siyata d'shmaya. There's no limits of how much Hashem can help you. When you just break out of that husk, that shell that's holding you back. As we say in Tehillim, Mikime me ofar dal, me ashpos yarm evil, lo shivi im nedivim. Mikime me ofar dal. A person who's what? Who's lifted up mamish from sitting in the dirt, in the garbage heaps. Lo shivi im nedivim. To sit with the nobles, to be placed amongst the nobles. Who are the nobles? Chazal explained, Nediv ze Avraham. Yochol adam liyos mechovke ashpasos. Shonim harbe. A person can be someone who's literally embracing the ashpa, who loves the dirt, and has lived in there for a long time. But then he decides, you know what? I want to sit at the dais. I want to sit with the nobleman. I want to be with Avram Avinu. He's my father. He's my tati, Avram Avinu. I want to sit by his side. And you know what, Chevra? You can. You can. You make the choice. If you decide to make that change and give the Torah you learned in your mother's womb, Yagbihenu v'yaramenu Hashem yizbarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lift you up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a lev chadash and a ruach chadasha to the become a chavrusa la'avram avinu alav shalom. Don't convince yourself you're not worthy learning side by side with Avram Avinu. Don't convince yourself that you're not worthy of being amongst Hashem's greatest children, because every one of us has that potential. Okay, so these are the words of Rav Dessel. We'll stop here for today. There's more to see in this piece. But such powerful yesodos. Again, to understand the Gemara and Nida in a deep way. To understand Chayev Adam Lomar. Chayev Lomar. It's a Chiyuv. It's not a good advice. It's a Chiyuv. To see ourselves as the descendant of the Avos. To find that path through the Yam. To remember what Rav Leib Chasman taught us. How could it be that you think it's on the other side of the ocean and really it's in your mouth? It's all a question of your perspective. If you buy into the dimyon of the Yetzirah, it's going to seem so far away. And if you motivate your neshama to take control of your guf, it's so easy. It's so accessible. Tshuva is an easy mitzvah. Ki karov alecha davar ma'od. It's a homecoming. It's a return to a natural state of being. It's not some foreign idea or some foreign entity that's trying to take over your life. Hashem is just trying to help you to be the best version of yourself. Okay? So we'll